Okay, we are recording. Time for Dave's weekly rant.
Dave's weekly rant.
Brought to you by Dave.
By
what if you were to join a certain club?
Oh, do you remember that day?
Oh, do I?
Welcome to Kiss My Ass Club podcast. This week we're talking to Dave about...
I'm talking to Dave every week, but...
Okay, fuck it.
I need to start doing shit. Right.
I just got the intro. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Okay, welcome to Kiss My Ass Club podcast. This week we're going to be talking about comics and movies, particularly DC comics and movies, particularly The Flash and Batman, how they're interacting around the button.
I just nodded along to all of that. So that's what we're doing.
You just need to educate me on what's going on.
And that means he's educating...
The audience.
Richie
is the audience.
Richie's here.
Well, nobody else is listening.
Well, the thing is, following your actual notes that you gave out, I thought you were going to like introduce us to the idea that Robert Zemeckis was directing The Flash.
News came out that his next movie...
I was going to say not directing The Flash.
Okay, sorry. So I didn't want to seem like a bum not knowing my news. Okay.
Like, there was a rumor this week that Robert Zemeckis was going to direct...
So I heard, yeah.
...The Flash. He's not. We just had a meeting, similar to why Mel Gibson had a meeting about the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So obviously just meeting these filmmakers that, you know, have, I think they're just lost and they're looking for some sort of creative force, an author to kind of come in with a strong idea.
Yeah.
And, but it also kind of suggests to me that they're looking at Robert Zemeckis, Back to the Future, the time travel guy to direct The Flash.
I don't like the tone you used there. It sounded like you weren't happy with that.
I'm not happy with the idea that they want to make a Flash, because it insinuates that they want to make the Flash the time travel character.
Yeah.
The Flash, up until a few years ago, was a guy that ran fast. Now he's the time travel guy.
And is the time travel in the way like Superman can turn into fucking Earth the other way around?
No, he can just like run back in time at will.
I thought he stole Superman's gimmick.
That thing, like, the Flash does it like all the fucking time. He does it all the fucking time. He's just like...
He did it in Batman vs Superman.
He does it all the time. Yeah. He's like the time travel guy.
He's a pretty good superhero.
But in fairness, we're probably wrecking your head, going off in tension straight away. But in fairness, in Batman and Superman, he came back and it was like he was like in this portal and he could barely kind of get through it to say something.
Yeah.
It wasn't like in the TV show, it was like this week, it was like, oh, I gotta go into the future and going to the year 2024. It's like, alright, see you then. And he just like runs and he's like in 2024. And I'm like, okay, with this whole logic, you could just go back to, you can just fix everything.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But you can't because it has repercussions.
Repercussions and butterfly effects.
Yeah. Yeah, like
what does Doc Brown call it? The time-space continuum, is it?
Space-time continuum?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Robert Zemeckis would probably apply, because he's an intelligent man, some sort of logic, or he probably would have just abandoned and just directed whatever the hell they wanted him to direct. Like,
I don't think he would, though, because you look at his career of late, or the last 10, 15 years, he directs what he wants.
He still has and he has a huge passion for film.
Like, yeah, and he has a huge passion for animation as well, so I think he's just looking for... He doesn't care. He doesn't care about box office either, I think, because his projects are one-offs.
I really like him.
Oh, he's amazing. Robert Zemeckis is amazing. Yeah. You know, one of my favourite authors of all time. Like, he's incredible.
But he did The Walk, didn't he?
He did do The Walk.
Yeah. I love The Walk. I thought that was
it's
great.
Good film.
I know the documentary is better and it kind of ruins it, but if you haven't seen it and you go see the movie, it's great.
Yeah, it's a really solid film.
I went to see that in 3D. When he walks out that first moment, because they're deliberate, they don't show you the view right until the exact moment where he steps out onto that rope and he looks down. And like you get vertigo looking at that shit. It's so clever, like.
Unfortunately, it looked like you created a great cinematic experience, and I saw it on DVD. So.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But anyway, he's not doing it. He's moved on to something else. But again, it suggests that they maybe wanted to do some sort of time travel Flash film, and I'm like, I'm kind of sick of fucking time travel and The Flash, to be honest. Like, The Flash is just fucking everywhere. But I mean, it also suggests to me, and it's also further kind of backed up by they... might want to separate this from the TV show, and I know Zack Snyder, he cast Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Lauren Cohn in the roles of
Thomas and Martha Wayne
for a purpose. He fancied Jeffrey Dean Morgan to play Batman as far back as Watchmen.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Jeffrey Dean Morgan has said this, like, he used to say, like, you know, oh, I'd love to direct a Batman film and you'd be a great Batman.
So
he would be a great Batman.
Batman's father, and in the Flashpoint, which we touched on last time.
Yeah, touched last time.
So, I mean, if they were going to do a film, No, I see pros and cons of them possibly doing a Flashpoint film. For me, the pros would be that it would differentiate it from the TV show. I mean, you haven't seen it, you know, it would involve...
Well, they did Flashpoint in the show, but they didn't.
Yeah,
they called Flashpoint an alternate timeline with minor differences, but they don't have the other DC characters.
Like most TV shows, I think they wanted to end on a good cliffhanger that season. And they went, we're doing Flashpoint, and then the logistics came in and like during the break, and they came back to make TV show and they went, oh, I don't really want to do Flashpoint because we can't.
Flashpoint's so hard.
So let's just not do it. But it was a good cliffhanger and it got us all to come back next season to watch the first few episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
So a Flashpoint film would help differentiate it from the TV show. But the con of that for me would be, as we talked about in the last podcast, the story doesn't make any sense. We went through it. I mean, it's a butterfly effect without any real butterfly effect. We don't see the sequence of events that actually changes these things, like the Waynes getting surviving and Bruce being killed. It has no correlation to why that should happen. And it also, for me, depicts another violent portrayal of Batman. And what was everyone complaining about the last film?
Yeah, violent portrayal of Batman.
Yeah.
We're seeing too much of this. So, I mean, why would we want another film about an even more violent Batman? Mm-hmm. Like, which is essentially what this would have in the Thomas Wayne Batman, who is more like the Punisher. You use extreme methods to fight people. So that's the big con for me, is that it doesn't make sense and we don't need another fucking film getting put out there to kids with a fucking Batman that he was
shooting guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this kind of segues into, we were going to do a comic
section. Yeah.
So what was your first note on that?
My first note on
Thomas Wayne is back as Batman. This week in...
Speaking of Thomas Wayne...
There's a...
Like, I intro with the Button, and the Button is the current storyline in DC Comics. It's
I've even seen that, actually.
Yeah.
And
so, Dave, what is the Button? What's going on there?
Well, as we talked about last time, DC are doing this rebirth thing, which is they're trying to fix the problems of the New 52 universe, and they're trying to integrate aspects of the pre-New 52 universe into the New 52 universe.
That doesn't sound confusing at all.
No. So what they did a while ago, they had this big storyline called Convergence. Now, Flashpoint was originally a time travel story that the timeline was changed, so characters and events changed afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did a story, Convergence, which explained that that wasn't quite the case and that there was still the alternate versions that existed before. They still kind of existed in some plane or something. And they brought back the Superman that everybody knew and loved. They brought him back. They placed him on the new existence where there was a younger Superman. He existed, but in hiding, and he had a beard, and he existed with Lois Lane and his son.
Okay.
So he was living in secret. Pre-New 52 Superman was living in the New 52 Earth while there was a New 52 Superman. So there's two Supermen.
What the fuck?
Yes, yes. This is what's happening in comics. So... So...
That's a line. You should be,
so...
This is what's happening in comics.
And this is what they think is going to get new readers to jump on board with.
Yeah.
You know, this confusing mishmash of crap.
I wish you could film your facial reactions here.
Yeah. Okay, but you're not doing that. But and because they brought back the Superman, which really embodies kind of what was everything that was great about the pre-New 52. He was the Superman in the Doomsday storyline.
Yeah.
He was Man of Steel. He was John Byrne. That great Superman that was rebooted in the 80s, he was the purest form of what was great about DC in the 80s and 90s. So they brought him back and people kind of went, do you know what? This New 52 thing sucks, but you brought back my guy. I bought my father that book for Christmas and he fucking loved it. He went, my Superman's back.
Yeah,
Superman is back.
Is this like when Hulk Hogan came back to WWE?
Exactly the fucking same.
And then he left the NWO behind.
You know, like, I mean, like,
this Superman is coming in as a heel or a babyface?
No, he was in secret and he was because he recognized, it was a good story because he recognized that the heroes were younger than he was. He thought that he could prevent certain things from happening bad things from happening, like you say Hal Jordan becoming bad, or he could prevent certain villains' origins that hadn't happened yet.
Okay.
He was trying to, he was working like low key.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he didn't want to take the limelight from the actual Superman. Then what happened was, the new 52 Superman then gets killed, and he's like, well, somebody needs to step in. He steps in, everyone kind of went, oh, we got the new Superman, we got, sorry, the old Superman back.
Yeah. Until, this sounds good.
Yeah. Until they decide to do a story now where somebody merges the two Supermen, the dead one.
Okay.
And they merge, they literally brought back what people loved, and now they're kind of like getting rid of them to merge.
Is this
merge
where, like, we couldn't be wrong? We're not fully wrong. We have bits we liked, but is it like
I don't
that?
Know what the, I don't know what the thinking is. Like, you literally gave fans what they wanted, and then you're like literally snatching it away from them again.
Yeah. It's like everyone booing Roma.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just awful. Okay. But anyway, this button thing is happening as we were talking about.
Can you explain the button to me?
The button is, I think they're trying to explain that all this mess that we're talking about, Flashpoint, New 52, they're trying to make sense of it. So they introduced at the end of the Rebirth story, Batman's in the Batcave and he finds a button in the cave, but it is a pin, like a button, a birthday button, but it's the Watchman.
Yeah.
It's the Watchman button. And they're insinuating that Dr. Manhattan has been altering reality, and they're going to have a Watchman crossover with the DC Universe.
Okay. So they're actually, they're putting Watchmen in continuity.
In continuity, which has never been
before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what they're doing.
That's interesting.
Well, it'll sell. It'll fucking sell, absolutely.
You don't think they should do it, though?
Alan Moore doesn't think they should do it because Alan Moore and he fucking created the Watchmen. Yeah. So
that novel's like 20 years old, though. You know?
They're in business and they
want to
do it.
Alan Moore, in fairness, doesn't want anything to happen with anything he ever touched. So no, just because Alan Moore says it doesn't mean it's a bad idea.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, I mean, the precedent for them doing this well on the basis of what they've done the last few years,
I
would not be too hopeful of them doing a good fucking job at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Batman and the Flash.
I told you, facial expressions.
The Flash.
There's going to be a video podcast next time.
The Flash. Barry Allen's.
The Flash,
who's like just everywhere.
Yeah.
The Flash is just everywhere. Him and Batman.
I'm getting Roman Reigns vibes off.
Are investigating. I fucking, like, I mean, 90s John Wesley ship dude. His TV show, amazing. Big Flash fan, and DC have just made me fucking
hate Barry Allen.
I love Grant Gustin in season one of that show.
Yeah.
I thought that show was great, but he is so overdone. The time travel aspect, like, I mean, he used to be just a fucking fast guy, as I said earlier. That was his thing. Now he's Mr. I'm just gonna
travel through time.
He's plot device man, you know what I mean? He's just overused. Him and Batman are investigating this button together, you know. They threw in a couple of nice moments between the two of them, but, you know, they've brought back, like, just other weird aspects as well, like,
well, at the moment they have, like, they're teasing Thomas Wayne is going to come back, so a panel is on there online where you've got, like, Thomas in Batman regalia looking at Bruce in his Batman regalia, and it's like, Bruce, Dad? You know, so
they brought back the Flashpoint Batman, but the weird thing is that I mentioned the story convergence earlier.
Yeah,
when they brought back the Superman, they also had in that story. Apparently, I haven't read this, but in that story, they brought back Thomas Wayne, but they killed him off. You know, probably some heroic sacrifice. I don't know, but they've killed him off.
Now he's back in.
Now he's back.
Yeah,
he's back.
Yeah,
he's back.
Yeah.
He's back in the Batcave and he meets his son. He's like, hey, Batman, you're my son. I'm Batman. Batman. You're my dad. Whoa.
We're both
Batman. Ah! You know. Wow. What a coincidence. So we both took this path.
So Thomas Wayne is the Undertaker. He's getting buried. He's coming back from the dead.
He's the dead man.
He's the dead man.
I think they're just ignoring the fact that he was dead. I think it's because it was time travel. They've taken him from a different point in time or some shit
that. Like, I don't mind, like, in timeline stuff. Like, it's even explained to Back Future, Toby Robbins and Mechas earlier.
Oh yeah.
You know, Biff Tannen goes back in time and he gives the Sports Almanac to his younger self, and then there is an offshoot timeline that they talk about that runs in parallel. So
yeah,
like that. I don't mind the idea that there's parallel timelines, because you've gone back and you've changed something. That doesn't mean that the old reality doesn't exist. And you can try and marry them up. That's an okay thing, but I know what you're kind of getting at. It's like the Flash is becoming a plot device, get out of jail card. It's like, oh, we tried that, we didn't like it, the fans didn't like it, let's undo it quickly, but Flash just jumps around in time and changes
it. The thing is, the problem I have with this is that he's not serving the story. They're bringing him back because he's popular amongst modern fans. Like him.
Thomas Wayne, is it?
Thomas Wayne, Batman. You know, they think he's cool and he's edgy, you know, like the way... And he has similar traits to the Red Hood, Jason Todd character. He's also, you know, he was the second Robin. He was killed by the Joker, and he came back to life because Superboy punched the walls of reality, and magic pixie dust raised him from the dead, changed time.
Undertaker.
Yeah, bullshit. And they have similar traits. They both have extreme methods of dealing with criminals, and
they're the opposite to Batman in a way.
They're the opposite to Batman. Now, my take on why they are popular is that they're current, you know, and there's a lot of new fans, and they are the books. When they go into a shop and they buy the books, they're the books that are on the shelf.
Yeah.
They don't know any different. They don't know that there's better stuff out there. And they look cool, they have cool costumes, they have, you know, but the fans will think anything that's out there right now is cool because they're into the whole fandom of it all.
Like, and it's new. You're reading it as it's happening.
And it's the stuff they're adapting. They're making the animated movies of this. They made a Flashpoint movie.
I think you're a bit quick to shoot it down, because like, there's two complaints and I'd kind of agree with them. One is they have older characters and they just reboot them or retool them. Mm-hmm. It's like, whether it's a case of like, oh, this guy, you know, Thor, you know, okay, it's a different character, but like Thor is now a woman and we just change it up instead of creating a new character.
Yeah.
Like, I personally, I don't mind this idea of like creating new characters in Red Hood and that kind of thing, because at least it's a new character.
Well, he was an old character.
I know he's an old character, but they brought him back. I mean, he was gone for long enough, so they brought him back in a new way, but it's like that thing.
But they
like,
did it in such a hokey way.
Granted, whatever, but it's still not a case of just changing Iron Man's gender for the sake of it. You know, that kind of way. It's like, create a new character.
You could have told a great story with Red Hood. Like, I mean, for me, the logical choice, they tried to hit upon it in the Red Hood film, where they changed, they didn't have the ridiculous comic book version of how he came back to life was, like, as I said,
pixie dust.
An alternative universe Superboy punched the walls of reality and brought a dead Robin back to life. That's what happened.
It hurts my brain when you say that.
You know, and in the comic, and sorry, and they made an animated film under Red Hood, which a lot of people like, and it is a good film.
It is good.
They had it was Ra's al Ghul that brought him back,
which kind of makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah, through Lazarus Pit, and they copied that for the Arrow show as well.
And that they hinted upon it in like in the Hush comic that Hush might have been Jason Todd. That's who I was hoping it was going to be, and it would have made a lot of sense that when you stick to good characterization of Ra's al Ghul, Batman rejected him. He wanted Batman to be his heir. He wanted him to take over. And it was like, well, if I can't have him, I'm going to take... And Jason Todd was a great Robin in a sense that he was everything Batman didn't want in a Robin.
Mm-hmm.
He was extreme. It was hinted heavily that he did kill somebody, like, you know, a criminal. And he famously, like, he was the...
He figured out who Batman was, didn't he?
No, that was Tim Drake.
Oh, was that Tim Drake?
Probably the best Robin of all time, maybe. And but Jason Todd was, I think a good writer put it nicely, was that in Jason Todd, Batman made a Robin out of a guy that if he didn't make Robin, would have become a villain.
Okay.
Which is a lovely spin.
That's interesting. Interesting
kind of concept. But the fans hated him and they voted for him to die in a call. So they killed him off.
They voted for him to die?
Yeah, there was a vote. Like, I mean, it was a cliffhanger. The Joker, they had a story where it was like he was caught in an explosion and it was like a cliffhanger. Vote for him to live or die. Fans hated him. They went, we don't want them.
It's old days. You'd ring a phone number.
Yeah.
And like, vote that way.
And it made for great stories because what happened was Batman had something even bigger than the death of his parents. He had the ultimate failure.
Yeah.
He was responsible for the death of a
young man.
That's what I talked about Jason Todd, who followed him, Tim Drake, probably the best Robin ever. He was the one that figured out that Batman was Bruce Wayne and confronted him. He says, like, Batman used to be a hero, you know. He used to be somebody you look up to, but you're getting... I've noticed, like, you know, in the media that you're becoming more extreme. Batman needs Robin. He needs him to take him back from that darkness, from that edge, like, from stepping over the line. And, you know, they made a great story of, like, he wouldn't have it. He had to, like, go through these trials and he proved himself. And eventually took him on board as a Robin because he realised he was right. Made a great story. Checking for time.
I was just checking to the recording.
Okay.
I get these worried bits. It's like, oh, shit, did I hit record?
Stone Cold Steve Austin does that all the time.
Does he?
Yeah, he records podcasts and then just, like, does a whole interview, realise he didn't press record.
Oh yeah, fuck that.
Imagine doing that with like a Paul Heyman or something like that and going,
I've done that with Pat Roberts, the politician.
Oh really?
Yeah, I had to go and do it again. I told him it was a sound check. Oh, God. First time.
Wow.
Did it again, wasn't delighted.
How long was it?
About 10 minutes.
Jeez.
That's okay.
It just
about an hour though.
Yeah. But he was interesting. Like, actually funny, if he was talking about something interesting enough. And I kind of just was listening going, because I said, let's do a sound check. He started talking. And then the interviewer took over and they kept on talking. I was like, it's interesting enough. Oh, fuck. Never hit record. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of where should we go from then?
You're just taking a shit on DC. what should we shit on next? Well, look, I think what you're talking about is interesting because there's a girl on YouTube called Comic Book Girl 19 and she's done a lot of... She loves, like, X-Men, famously. That's her favourite comic. And she's done, like, history of X-Men shows on Vimeo. And she's really passionate about comics. She had a show on Go 90 talking about comics. She's been on, you know, the various talk shows online. And she doesn't mince her words at all. She's like Dave. She's like, I like this, I hate this, I like this. And she came out this week and she says, I haven't bought Marvel comics. And she's a Marvel person. She's like, I haven't bought Marvel comics in nearly a year.
Yeah.
And she said the reason is literally the exact same reason Dave's talking about, where it's like, it's reboot after reboot after changing the universe after this, and it's like the continuity is just crazy and we keep changing everything and I can't get invested because suddenly they're changing it again. So I suppose it's more indicative of two comic book companies whose sales are going down. Marvel's especially, their sales have gone down a lot. And then the guy heading up Marvel Comics came out and said, oh, fans don't really want diversity. But then he had to retract those remarks. And I suppose what he was getting at was they had perhaps sloppily changed characters, race, gender, orientation, randomly. And then they took it that declining sales meant people didn't want to see those types of characters rather than... I think people want to see new characters with those attributes. They just, I think it's really patronizing just to swap out a character.
Yeah.
Their gender, for example. I mean, that's kind of lazy. I prefer, like, if I was a girl and I wanted to see a strong female character, I don't want to see
a new character. Like, I mean, Renee Montoya in Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
She's still existing today, like, you know, and she was just a side character in Batman. She was a B-cop.
But she's not going to have her lead comic book title. And I suppose they're looking for comic book titles.
They built upon her fantastically, and I don't know why they didn't follow it up properly, but there was a great story. It was... She took over the role of the Question.
Oh, did she?
And it was... fantastic.
Wow.
It was like literally a change. Like, he chose her, like, he went on this like epic quest, like, you know, and they were going to like the Himalayas, like, you know, all through the snow, and she noticed he was coughing more, and like they've gone through this whole thing where like he was really it was a great dynamic where he was like, really pushing the buttons, he was really hard, and she was kind of a lost kind of soul at this stage and he was near death, he had cancer. And he's gone up the Himalayas with her, and I can't remember the reason why they were going up there. I just remember the great character moment was like she realised he was dying and he was passing the torch, and she leaves his body in the Himalayas and she takes his faceless mask puts it on her, and she's the new Question.
Cool.
And I went, this is a fucking great evolution of a great character, you know. And
Question's fantastic character. Do you know the question, Richie? He's
His characterization in Justice League cartoon is probably what you know best.
I love that. I've read about some conspiracy theorist who investigates. Shit.
Oh, okay.
And he has no face. His mask is just,
he's
like
really paranoid. Face.
Oh. Like there's no nose or eyes or anything.
But there's
like
a great moment in that cartoon where he's being tortured, and they're like, they've given him a serum so he can only tell the truth. And as they're asking questions, he will only speak the truth. And he's like, those things at the end of your
laces.
those things, they're called acolytes. And they're made by this, and he's like
spewing.
He has all these conspiracies, and he knows the truth behind them, but they're completely ridiculous. But he's like, he's telling the truth, but he's not giving away any of the hero's plans.
Also, we're on the topic of comics, and they just did it. Did you see the Joker trailer for Injustice 2?
Oh yeah, he's like a mix.
Haven't watched that yet.
You should watch it now.
It's like it's like a it. Okay.
It's interesting.
Okay,
put it on there.
It's hip.
Yeah. I knew you'd hate it.
Justice 2 Joker trailer.
I'm a traditionalist. I like him in his dapper.
Is this the one here? Is it?
Yeah.
John, I love fucking reaction videos. Jeez. Yeah. People just
I'm convinced like half of them are like actually they've watched it and it's the second time they've watched it and they're acting,
but no one can. Okay, listen to this. I don't like him already.
Yeah,
I'm no Jason Todd. He's pathetic. You're contemptible.
It's like one of those fan films, isn't it?
You're both.
It's actually just a gameplay trailer more than anything else. It's basically just Mortal Kombat with fucking
it's the same people. Yeah. I haven't played it, have you?
No.
Person. Like, I was telling Dave, I like the comic book.
Yeah.
You know, I like the
We were talking about this during the week.
Yeah, Dave ruined it.
I'm sorry, I didn't actually know because... Because
I was flying through them and then I was just like, it was costing a fortune. So I was reading, I read the volumes.
Yeah.
I was like, I was reading a volume every 2 days. I was like, there's a tenner, there's 12 quid. I was like, okay, I got to fucking stop for now. Yeah. And then Dave just goes, man, they've done this stupid thing, and
you said you read the comic. I thought that you had read the comic.
I haven't read. I'm not up to date.
And there's this moment in Justice
Spoiler.
Comic because Superman is the bad guy, and he wants to hurt Batman. He reveals Batman's identity to the world. How could you do that?
How? He
tweets it.
Wow.
It's a bit lame. That's a bit lame, friend.
He actually, Superman has a Twitter. The most powerful man in the world tweets.
How else would you read the tweets to people, though?
How else would you, if you could, just...
But, I mean, it's smart.
It's very smart. And I think he got 25 million retweets as well. That's how many people were interested in spreading the word about Batman being Bruce Wayne. And people believed it instantly.
Do you reckon Superman's one of those guys that doesn't follow anyone on Twitter? Like Kanye West?
Yeah, he probably only...
he doesn't follow anyone. Maybe he follows Kanye West only and that's it. No one else.
Or it's going to be a giveaway if he follows Lois Lane. or Martha Kent.
Have you seen that? Someone made a really good, funny comic. It was a picture of Clark Kent and Lois Lane. No, it was a picture of Superman and Lois Lane. And... she puts it up on Facebook, and then Facebook goes to the face generator. It's like, would you like to tag Clark Kent in this? The photo is her looking at her screen, just going,
"That's the room." Well, that's fucking glass. Well, it doesn't make sense that, part of it is when I read comics, I don't like to feel that they're set in my reality. When you put things in it like Twitter, it makes it kind of hokey. But then again, when you think about it, 20 years ago. Like him being on TV, that was TV news back then. Was Twitter? Twitter. So
when you look at something Dark Knight Returns, something that's all done through
television
broadcast, and that's how they give you the information.
If you wrote that now, it'd be through fucking YouTube,
social media.
Videos.
So,
I think you should kind of make them an element of them a little timeless. At this stage, I don't think there's a need because the problem with doing current technology is that can date pretty quick, and when you get to what's hot and what's
Twitter and Facebook, they're around. I think they're going to be around. They're platforms.
But if
Superman's
on
Twitter, maybe some people might sign up to Twitter,
I do think it's a case of because usually the writers are they're probably 20 years old and probably their target audience a lot of them, and I do think there's an element of them trying to bridge that gap.
which I can understand.
Yeah, you can understand it, but or some of them are probably think they are in that generation. Mm. But it does come across kind of bad and hokey. But if you read Batman Year One, which like you know, it apart from having TVs in it, it doesn't have like it's this was written in the '80s. Like it's drawn beautifully. Like it's a gritty urban setting. But it could be modern day, like
The way it's drawn,
it's absolutely fantastic. Like you don't have to like delve in too much into modern technology. If your story's solid, if your characterization is there, you know, it seems gimmicky when you're thrown in kind of a technology.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, like unless Superman pulls his cell phone out of where and
you know.
I get you.
How would you tell the world that Batman or Bruce Wayne is Batman?
Well, he could easily access
right in the sky.
Right in the sky.
Be very. It's a long sentence, but you're right.
I'm sure we could take over a TV broadcast. Old school.
It's quicker. Twitter, though. In fairness, though, Twitter is way more efficient than.
Yeah. And you got 25 million retweets.
Yeah, but, people would be just like, you know, oh, he was hacked. Superman got hacked.
Superman's Twitter got hacked.
Lex Luthor hacked.
He's Superman.
Lots of things like you know. Superman's really petty.
Superman getting fraped and all.
Your super villains are literally nerds going, "I'm gonna frape Superman." And he's having to deal with that shit.
You could write a whole comic on like some guy just fucking hacking all Superman's accounts.
Superman, he's like, "I'm getting rid of my LinkedIn. I'm just you know fucking sick of it." Like you know,
that's true. Actually, yeah. Superman can't have a Twitter because it gets hacked. All right,
Superman still has a Bebo. Apparently, but like, you know, he's bringing back Bebo.
You can't hack Bebo.
Well, Iron Man had a MySpace, you know.
Did he?
Well, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Bust this in your MySpace. I presume he had one too.
Yeah. Well, so the other thing that's kind of like coming out at the moment is that is in continuity, we think, with the DCEU, i.e., the DC Cinematic Universe, is the Krypton TV show. Conversely, the talk of the Teen Titans TV show, which looks to be an online only show. Is going to be not in continuity. So
we don't know anything about the continuity of that show yet.
Oh, what, Teen Titans?
No, but I mean, it is produced by Greg Berlanti, who did produce the Supergirl TV show as well as all of the Arrow universe.
Yeah, Arrow Flash.
But he did, because he produced Supergirl on a separate network, he did actually have them in separate universe initially. And then when Supergirl, I know, bear with me.
What the fuck, like?
The same guy was commissioned to create a Supergirl TV show, and he had made the Flash and Arrow TV shows.
Oh,
right. So he was commissioned with a separate network to. They were both on the CW network. Supergirl was on NBC.
NBC or
it might have been NBC. So he made that TV show, and in that TV show, even though it wasn't alluded to, like I mean,
it was the same tone. I mean, it definitely was in the same field, the same realm, but they weren't in the same universe.
Yeah, and
but then mid-season they did a crossover.
Yeah, and they switched networks. Then she went to CW, but
she's still in a different universe. But they can jump between universes handy enough.
Yeah, they're on separate Earths because Earths exist in the same frequency.
Yeah,
sorry, different frequencies. Same,
but that's
same space.
Okay. That's an old comic book.
It's an
gimmick.
Old comic book thing, but it was kind of unnecessary because. The same producer, they were always going to cross paths, so he didn't have to do that.
I don't mind it though, because I like the idea that Supergirl is on a different in a different universe, because it's like that old thing of like, well, why don't we just call such and such to help us? Because at least we don't have these constant problems of like, well, we could just get Supergirl sorted out in 2 seconds, you know?
Well, you know, I always work off the concept that usually if you watch these heroes in action, they're all usually quite busy all of the fucking time.
Yeah, like when
you know,
when
you're so I work off that concept.
When you're watching the Marvel TV shows on Netflix and you're like, where the fuck are the Avengers?
Well, no, they're fighting their bangers. Like, there's a lot of bangers.
Like,
where are
they?
Like,
they keep making references. Like,
sharing his gaff with that other fella.
But it's like, you know, I mean, Batman could just be like, you know, fucking Ra's al Ghul's being a dickhead. Superman. Would you not just come down just for 5 seconds?
Yeah, get off Twitter for a second.
Yeah, get off Twitter.
Come on, man.
But Greg Berlanti, he's producing this new
Teen Titans show. Yeah.
And this is for DC are introducing a streaming network. And they're launching it with season 3 of Young Justice, which is an animated series about like Robin and
which is going to go out on Netflix the rest of the world.
No, it's not. No, it's going on to this streaming, so it's not going on to the network.
At all?
Sorry,
no, at all?
No.
Oh.
It's going on to... This is what they announced. And they're launching a live-action version of the Teen Titans, which is Dick Grayson, Robin, traditionally, and
but Nightwing now probably.
And but the thing is, they also have, they haven't learned from their mistakes. They're also in production, because there's a million DC films in production. They have a Nightwing film in production, which is Dick Grayson, the character.
Oh, that's so
they
have production,
a TV show and a film now, and it's, they're probably separate universes. Probably, we don't know, but it more likely, if it's Greg Berlanti, he's probably going to want it to tie in some way into his work, which is the Arrow universe and Supergirl universe.
Mm-hmm. But see, they'd have to be in a different Earth, though, because otherwise you've got the Batman-Arrow problem. And where the fuck was Batman? Because Arrow, the idea was like, he is the
Batman. I mean, it'll universe. Become clearer later on.
Yeah.
But again, you have, like, you're going to probably two Dick Grayson characters.
But you know, I was thinking about this in the car earlier, and I was listening to, on the Collider podcast, they were talking about how Marvel started off with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. And the gimmick behind that is, yeah, it's in the same universe. And ramifications happen between the films and the TV show. And
I think they did a good job of crossing it over. Well, like, they never Winter Soldier's like, link was quite
that
good.
That
was
one. Yeah, that's when it got exciting for me. Yeah. When they actually started paying attention to what was happening in the films. Yeah. That's when I got hooked. Yeah. Because I was invested in that.
But you see, the writers recently... The writers
Bill Paxton was in it.
The writers of Civil War, basically the last couple of Captain America films and the new Justice League films. Or not Justice League, sorry. The Avengers films. Mm. They were asked, "Oh well, what do you think of what's going on in Avengers or in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?" And like, we don't watch the show.
Yeah,
of course. Wow. So, but you see, they don't. So the idea that like this show would actually have an impact and vice versa, really, it's a false promise.
Hmm.
And then if you look at the Netflix universe, the only thing tying that is in Daredevil when they talk about the incident in New York.
Yeah.
So
and I like the
at least they reference
like,
it.
Like
they
the newspaper clippings on the in the background and stuff mentioned and stuff.
But
I like that.
It though. But like, so you. They've
but that's what they used to do in comic books is before, like, which is now, like, everyone just, like, shows up in everyone's comic books.
Mm.
They used to just have little nods like that to the universe.
Yeah.
But what I mean is, that's what the point I'm getting to is, those shows can exist perfectly independently of the films and have no ramifications. So it kind of doesn't really matter. Like, I feel with the DC stuff, like, I don't mind having a Dick Grayson in the movie universe and one in the TV universe. And the reason being is because I might watch the TV one and not like him, but I like the movie one.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
vice versa. I might not like the movie one. And they, because if you look at even comics, you've got multiple Batman titles, you know, Elseworld stuff, you've got all these different takes.
I know where you're coming from, but I think it holds long term because I think you're oversaturating. I think that generally people do get confused. They absolutely do. Like, you know, people that are invested in the Flash TV show are confused watching seeing him show up in the films and it's a different guy. Like, they are. Like, you know, I mean, I remember even as far back as when, like, Lois and Clark started.
Yeah.
And one of the first things that, and I remember these things, even though I was, like, only really, really young, like, you know, when I was trying to tell somebody about, like, Lois and Clark, they were like, why is his father still alive? Because in the Christopher Reeve film, his father died.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, well,
it's a different story. Yeah.
You know, like,
nearly the best part of the show was the mom and dad.
Mom and dad,
were amazing. Yeah. She's all hippity-dippity. And
the dad is like, she's an artist.
The dad's just rolling his eyes all the time. It was fucking brilliant. Like,
You know,
I used to love when the parents would come up to the newspaper and, like, Perry would be there and they'd be like, you know, all the Elvis stuff. And
the story characters are fantastic. Like, you know, it's a great show. Let's do a podcast with it.
That's a great show. That is a really
it
great show.
It is a great show.
Yeah, go back and watch that.
He tells me about it all the time.
Oh, man. It's such a good show.
I like the idea that like Lois is the main focus. Yeah, it's not Superman. I like that idea.
But it's called Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
But I like and that the Superman is a subtitle.
That's what I love that. Yeah. I love that it's her. Like,
yeah, it's interesting. It's really, really entertaining. And do you know why? It was written by Deborah Joy Levine, who traditionally wrote sitcoms.
Okay.
And this doesn't have a laughter track, but the dialogue is all... It's constantly entertaining. It doesn't have a laughter track telling you when to laugh or condescending you, but she writes with this thing in mind of, like, you know, the joke structure, you know. So all the funny lines are really, really funny because they're set up well.
Mm.
And it's constantly... It's really entertaining because... The dialogue is just popping like it's on a sitcom.
But they knew their characters. Like,
She wasn't a comic book.
No.
But she did research and she learned it.
But she learned it.
A lot of respect.
But their characters were consistent to who they were. Like, when I watch a show, I don't need like Clark or Lois to be exactly like the thing, but I need them to be consistent in their choices and how they think, and so that I can invest in them. And they did that brilliantly, Lois and Clark. I mean, Lois and their chemistry was just phenomenal.
Chemistry was incredible.
And the supporting cast. Although having two different Jimmy Olsons annoyed the shit out of me as a kid.
Well, do you know what happened?
One actress started. When did it change? Season 2?
Season 2, it changed. One of the notes from the, you know, the studio was that Jimmy Olsen was... he kind of had tan skin and dark hair, which Dean Cain had tan skin and dark hair. So they thought he looked too much like Dean Cain.
Nothing like him.
He didn't look anything like him, but that was, and you can even see there's I think it was like an ad lib. There's a little moment in episode of season 2 where Perry White is like walking out of a room, and it's like, it's right at the end of the scene, and he turns around to Dean Cain, and he goes, he was like, "You know, Clark, you remind me of a kid that used to work at a plant about a year ago." and Dean Cain pops after he says it. Like, and it's just, it's literally, and it just cuts like, yeah. You know, he's just like, "What did you just say?" I think it's an ad lib.
That's good. That's the directors. That's the production team saying, "Fuck this." That's cool. But like, they did that kind of in Iron Man 2. Wasn't it Iron Man 2 when Don Cheadle turned
up?
And he's like, you know, they go into court and Robert Jr. goes, "Hold on," he goes, "I'm here, deal with it." They just keep going. Mm-hmm. "It's me, I'm here, deal with
he
it."
He looks nothing like him.
But no, I love that old show. They got a bunch of those box sets. That was like,
it was fantastic.
Great show.
And you rewatch it, like the writing, you know, you watch TV now, but like people had, it was a different hook back then. Like, you know, it wasn't like, you didn't get your audience by like, you know, kind of going like, what's going to get us clicks, sensational clicks, and you know, what's good, like, you know, it's not like Walking Dead, like,
what character TV shows were different then. You wanted a TV show that you could just tune in on a Sunday and watch a random episode,
correct,
and just jump in. Where now, people want to have
arcs,
because you have the access to it on Netflix and whatever else, and DVRs, you can follow each episode so they can be that strict with it. But they didn't have DVRs back then, they didn't have that option, so you can just turn on. What did I show Lois and Clark? Sky One, was it? Whatever.
Yeah, Sky One.
So you put on
BBC,
Sky One.
I watched on Sky One.
Well, it was on Sky One as well. I could turn on Sky One at any time and just pick up and watch an episode. Yeah. You couldn't do that with The Walking Dead, because you'd be like, who the fuck are all these guys? Yeah. And I think that's why it had to be different. Or why TV's different now.
You are right. I mean,
it did have like an overreaching arc, though. It always will.
Like Buffy always will. You could watch a random episode of Buffy.
You're absolutely right. That was the way TV shows had to be.
A villain of the week or like an obstacle of the week.
The best TV show for that was X-Files.
Yeah. It had the arc.
It had a great arc. But you could watch a random episode like anytime. You could just flick it on.
Actually, that's an interesting point, because like TV back then was like that, and it was perfect, you know, for younger people. And as you say, no DVRs and all that, and timed recording. Geez, no one could program their VCR to record anything at the right time, so that was a write off. But like now it's really kind of gone the opposite way, and it's like shows nearly feel like they have to be so fucking convoluted and so must-see TV.
Yeah.
It's gone like, if you don't fucking see this, you'll miss, it'll make no sense. I'm watching, we were watching some Supernatural last night. I love Supernatural because they do like an X-Files thing. Mm. It's like, there's an arc, but we do have standalone episodes in there. But like, they do a really good job of bringing up speed. Like, we started watching season 11, they're on 12 now, months ago. We watched first 3 episodes, and they're good. But then we got caught up on something else on Netflix. And so I said, okay, I can't really remember what was happening. I hit episode 3, the recap was like, oh yeah, perfect. Okay. Yeah, and I'm back. They do a really, really good job with their recaps to bring you up to speed. But that wouldn't have worked back
then. I think back in the day, that's why shows like Star Trek and Stargate and stuff work, because you're putting yourself in a situation where every episode you can go somewhere else.
You have a giant
portal that you can just go to worlds.
Mass
and
escape.
Just go and just have like a 40-minute, you know, story, like, you know, like
Next Generation did that.
Well, yeah, because you're on a ship, you could just go somewhere. Like,
before it's even mentioned, I started to digress in my head. I was like thinking about like Star Trek Next Generation, But another thing that's interesting about like that time period was like the writers themselves were different people, they were different people. These weren't people that were distracted by social media, these were people that read, they read a lot. And their jobs were to write. Like, I mean, all those episodes, single episodes, they could tell a whole story in an episode. Mm-hmm. There was like, the reason you could watch it was because they didn't go for this idea of like, you know, oh well, we'll just we'll fill an hour, and when we figure out the next episode, they had a story to tell. They had a point to what they were doing. Like,
I think it puts people off modern TV, because you're like, oh, like, you should watch Game of Thrones. Like, how many seasons is it? Oh, it's 6 seasons. there are 10 episodes an hour each. Yeah. It's like, what? I have to watch for 60 hours.
Yeah,
a great show, but it's like, you'd love to be able to just turn on something, just watch it, and just pick it up at any point. Like,
well, we're back, myself and Lorraine, we're watching Voyager from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on...
I tried it.
No. When? When?
I tried it recently. On Netflix.
Netflix. Yeah. Netflix. We're the same.
I just kind of went, I'm just going to go back and watch that.
Yeah, no, we did. But like, what I was really surprised at is like...
That's amazing.
When I watched it...
It's amazing.
The first time, I remember kind of got a little bit bored of it. And then when they got into the Borg stuff in season 4, 5, 6, 7, I was kind of going, now we're rocking.
Yeah, yeah.
But funny enough, watching it now, I'm kind of going, God, the characters actually, there was more to the characters than I remember.
Yeah.
And their standalone episodes were better than I remember.
Mm.
And it's kind of, it's nice. I'm going there because, as you said, I've been watching all this Game of Thrones. Mm. I've been watching, you know, Walking Dead. Mm. And it's nice.
Yeah, yeah, it's like
nice to start, middle, and end in a show and walk away and not be going, oh, I wonder what happened, or have a post-credit sequence.
Yeah, sure. I just picked up recently the new season of Better Call Saul.
Oh, right.
And I had to watch a 3-minute recap, which they give you on Netflix, which is great, because I had no idea what's going on.
Oh, Jesus. So much is I can't remember anything about that show. I watched like the first 2 seasons, I'm like, I have no idea what happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the recap helped. And then even watching the first episode, I was kind of still trying to remember what had happened and why the characters were going wherever they're going.
I remember he's called Saul.
He's a lawyer. That's
it. And Mike shows
That's Mike. And there's Mike.
And he's like, hey, young balls, and he's talking and we're going to meet other bald people that are going to talk like this. Yeah, that's it.
You've sold it to me now. I mean,
have you watched Better Call Saul? It's excellent.
See, I started
Breaking Bald is what I should
have Breaking Bald.
It's basically like really, really slow paced version of Breaking Bad, if that makes sense. Like, there's no like marquee moments. There's no big spots or anything like that. If you're like a wrestling related, but it's just nice.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're not gonna put it in that, like, you know, everyone has all these TV shows and pedestals like Game of Thrones and Wire and Sopranos and all that. You're never gonna put Better Call Saul in that vein,
right?
But the production is still there. It feels like Breaking Bad.
Okay,
and they've done a great job with the characters because they've introduced all these new characters to it. With Saul, but Saul is completely different. It's not the same Saul you know in Breaking Bad.
He was the one consistent thing in Breaking Bad for me.
Yeah.
He was the best thing in it.
Well, I watched Breaking Bad up until the introduction of Saul, and I really liked him because I was watching Breaking Bad, I'm like, this is really, really good, but I kind of, whatever, you know, the way you're in different humors watching things, and it's kind of like, it's a bit heavy sometimes, and it's like, I'm really craving Star Trek. You know, I was really craving that escapism at the time, and I remember Saul coming and going, whoa, here's
the problem is escapism
in the show.
Because the two main characters, Walter and Jesse, are just not very likable people, and their decision making is so bad sometimes that you can't root for them. They're not heroes. Like, you know, Walter White's not a hero.
I guess
Jesse Pinkman's not a hero.
He is up to a certain point.
He is to a certain point, but you can't root for him because
the last few seasons is when he goes
full heel. Like, yeah, he does. So he's heel. He's Hogan in the role. Like,
he goes heel, and then they backtrack in it. Like, he goes heel, and then he becomes like
the Flash turned up and reset the timeline. Does he?
He goes heel, and then it's like he gets the walk catchphrase. You know, so it's not full heel anymore. He goes heel and then just kind of goes like, but you like cheering him, don't you? So we'll give him those moments again. Like,
right.
So they introduce like...
Are you spoiling Breaking Bad?
Do you know what? It's that type of thing where
they introduce...
If I was going to watch it fully, I'd have watched it this stage.
You should watch it. It's worth it.
It's worth binging.
The final couple of episodes of season 4, all the stuff with Gus is great.
That's great.
It's really because building up for a long time. He starts working for Gus, and you can see where it's going. Yeah. And then the climax to that is just
amazing. Brilliantly made.
That's the thing. Like, I really, really like when I'm watching it, and you recognize it's all brilliant. Mm. But I guess like it's like the thing where you're in the humor. It's like, now I kind of find with the world going to hell, I'm like, I just want to watch pure escapism. I just want last time I was like watching Flash, and I was like, okay, look, you know what I mean, you're talking about the time travel stuff, but I'm like, look man, it's total escapism, you know. But it's like I watch that in pockets. You know, that kind of way, like maybe on a Saturday morning when the sun is shining, so it's like the outside world is all bright and happy. Alright. But like I watched those shows. Me and my wife love watching horrors on Sunday.
Strange. It's really weird. Like, somebody put up like the secret to the formula to watching The Walking Dead. Like, I'm not joking. I said that before somebody put that up. It's like, you know, you watch the season premiere.
Oh yeah, yeah.
First couple of episodes.
You said that earlier.
Then you don't watch a bunch of episodes, and then like
it's
you watch.
What I said.
No, I said this, like, I said this, but somebody put this online.
You stole his game. Did you steal his game?
My fucking, I said this ages before. Because this is what I actually did.
Proof? Did Superman tweet it?
But this is the formula. This is what I started doing, just like, instinctively, I just kind of went, well, I know.
Yeah.
You know, they have a cliffhanger. And they watch the first episode, and then nothing happens for episodes, and then
mid-season
finale.
Yeah, I quite like that, because like they had, like, I think they had one of those like cliffhanger endings, and then they just went to like, you know, a backstory episode, but it was the Morgan episode. Do you know the one where where he gets his like trained with the stick and he meets the old guy?
Oh, that's great.
And that was great because it was a standalone episode. Yeah. It had nothing to do with the continuity of the story, but it was still a really nice thing. And it was kind of reminded me of those, like, you know,
character beats.
Yeah, because it's like one single episode that you could just pick up and watch because it was just focusing on his
Morgan's great.
He's a great character, actually.
Oh, yeah. He's standout this season, I feel.
But I found the new format to watch The Walking Dead is I just don't watch it at all.
Such a heel.
Hater. You're a hater.
I'll wait and see how find out how it wraps up, and then I'm like,
you know what? I find
is it
best,
worth it?
It's the type I'll of show back. You have to embrace the type of shows are. So say for example,
there's no levity in it. Everything's so dour.
Everything's depressing. But I think Walking Dead lends itself to you get the box set and you binge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that kind of way. I think that's the best way to watch that show.
Oh,
so
really,
you got to find the best way that works for you. So I started watching it at one point week to week, and I was kind of getting frustrated. So then I said, okay, I'm not going to watch that way. I'll watch the way that works. And when I watch the way that works, it's way better.
It depends.
Of course,
because
as you say, like, some episodes, they will segue. So it's grand watching like a filler episode when you know, hey, instantly I can watch the next one. But when you have to wait a week,
I'm
waiting 2 weeks for the fucking follow up.
It depends on the TV show. I like waiting a week. I like waiting a week for Game of Thrones because I love watching an episode and all the shit that happens, and then spending a week talking to all my friends and work colleagues
about
what happened, what's going to happen, speculating and building up.
As long as you can rewatch an episode
By the time you get to the next Monday, you're hyped to fuck about what's going to happen in this episode. And you're following it like that, and I like that.
It's a rare occasion, like, but all you stuff shows. Like,
you're experiencing it all together, where it, the likes of Walking Dead, you can just sit and binge it.
Otherwise, I prefer to binge Game of Thrones as well, I'll be honest. I'll ignore, like, the new season's coming out. I won't watch it. I'll stay away from the internet, and then I'll watch it.
I do that with Walking Dead. I binge it.
I prefer to binge I prefer to binge serious shows, like with intense drama, because then I'll get to my resolution in a faster way.
I know
the kind of way, because and then the rest of the times I'll watch a total escapist nonsense, and I love it, you know. But anyway, we better wrap it up because I need to go get a takeaway. Cool. So, thanks for listening to this.
I had a recommendation.
Oh, did you? Okay, go on. What's the recommendation? Go on.
It's long.
No, yeah. Do it next time.
Listen, this was a long episode. Yeah. I mean, we started talking about the button.
We went to the TV
show. But we didn't mention the Krypton TV show.
We'll mention it next time, because it hasn't even been publicly put up, that trailer, yet. It was taken down. It was illegal. I really have to go.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
All right. Blame Richie. All right. Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you,
Paul.
We just bashed heads. Oh,
that was embarrassing.
What if you were to join a certain club?
Oh, you remember that day?